Good morning, Church at Southside. What's up? What's up? So, I'm Jamie. I'm not Jesse. Just so you know that. we got one fan. Cool. But we're about to start worship here, so I'll go ahead and say a prayer for us real quick, and we'll get started. Dear Lord, we come to you today. We just want to thank you for this place. We want to thank you for this ground that we're able to meet on. I thank you that you've brought these people here. I'm thankful that they are here, and I'm thankful that they're ready to listen and ready to just be in your presence. Thank you for this time, and thank you for these people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, you always amaze me. Let your kingdom come in my world, in my life. Give me the food I need to live through the day. And forgive me as I forgive the people that wronged me. Far from temptation, deliver me from the evil one. I look out the window, the birds are composing. Not a note is out of tune or out of place. Walk to the meadow and stare at the flowers. Better dressed than any girl on a wedding day. So why should I worry? Why do I freak out? God knows what I need. You know what I need. The heavens is buried treasure. Will you sell yourself to buy the one you found? Two things you told me, that you are strong and you love me. Yes, you love me.
Oh gosh. There we go.
And you love me. Your love is, your love is, your love is strong. Your love is, your love is, your love is strong. Your love is, your love is, your love is strong. I got in heaven, hallowed be thy name above all names. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us weary sinners. Keep us far from our vices and deliver us from these prisons.
Thank you.
sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. And I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. And all of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. And I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me.
Good morning, church. If you're thankful for eggs and biscuits and gravy, say amen. That's right. Praise God. Glad to see you today. If I hadn't had a chance to meet you, my name is Charlie. I'm blessed to have my family here today with me while my wife Laura is serving in the line. She's the best looking lady over there. My two boys are here, John David and Andrew. If you hadn't met them, make sure you meet them. We live in Pelham, and it's just great to be here with you today. I don't know what happened to you on Friday. Anybody remember what Friday was, Valentine's Day? I don't know how you made it through that day or really where your heart was. on that day. My guess is it's probably on maybe somewhere on this scale, maybe on the one end of the scale. I mean, your heart was full of love. I mean, you stared into your little Schmoopy Boopy's eyes all day long. You were able to have a romantic dinner. I mean, all day long, the songs of love were filling your heart. Everywhere you looked, there were hearts and red balloons, and every song you heard was a song of love. I mean, your heart was just full of love on Friday. And if that was the case for you, praise God. That's awesome. That's one end of the scale, okay? Maybe on the other end of the scale, your heart was hurting. On Friday, it was just another reminder to you of love that has been lost, of somebody that was supposed to love you that didn't. You want to express love, but it's just not received. If you hear another song about love, you're going to do something that you probably shouldn't do. I mean, you are so sick of hearing about love that you thought about going into the grocery store and taking a push pin and popping all of the red balloons throughout the store. All right. That's a little passive aggressive, but that maybe is the other end of the spectrum. So I really don't know where you were on Friday. And maybe you had both ends of the spectrum. But I want to tell you that God's word for us today is this, and I want you to listen to me. It's just three words, one sentence. The word of God for us today is this: you are loved. You are loved. Now, if you've been here for any length of time, you've heard us say that before, and some of you might say, well, y'all say that every single week, but I'm here to tell you, and we don't apologize for that, that the love of Jesus Christ is the most powerful force in the universe. The love of Jesus Christ can change the world, and my guess is, even if you've heard that before, God wants us to experience that today. So we're going to do something today as a church family to remind us of the love of God. We're going to take communion. So in just a minute, I want you to participate in that. But I want to share just a couple things with you before we do that. You are loved, and God loves you. And God wants you to experience His love, not just hear about it, not just hear somebody say it like we try to say week in and week out. Paul wanted the church in Ephesus to really experience the love of God. And he says one of my favorite prayers in the entire Bible. After talking about the grace of God and how it's available to everyone, Paul says to the Ephesians in Ephesians 3 verse 14, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray," listen to this prayer, sisters and brothers, "that out of His glorious riches," not just minimal riches, glorious riches, "out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power," say power with me, "power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell, may live in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and grounded and established in love, may have power," say with me, power, "may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably, abundantly, more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." Let all of God's people say together, amen. That is God's heart for us. He wants us to know His love. Did you hear in that verse? It's a knowing that surpasses even knowledge. It's weird to think that you can know something that passes even knowledge, but that is how powerful the love of God is. So when we take communion together here in just a minute, I want you to be reminded of the love of God. And my guess is some of you may not know what communion is, or may have had maybe a different experience of it, or not really know what it's about. So I just want to take a couple minutes to talk about that, because when we take communion as a church together, there's a lot of history about communion in the Bible, a lot of history of where communion came from. And it starts all the way back, maybe even further than this, but I want us to talk about Exodus. Everybody know in the Old Testament book of Exodus, one of the great leaders of God was Moses. Now, he certainly was not perfect. He was someone that killed an Egyptian. He was someone that had anger issues. When God asked him to do something, he sometimes would make excuses, but God wanted Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. You remember that story in the Old Testament, the story of Exodus? And so Moses went to the Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt at the time, and said, the story that you probably have heard before, let my people go. And 10 times the Pharaoh said no. So time after time, God had to send plagues, and Pharaoh would still say, no, 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 I'm not going to let my people go. Well, the last plague, the last of the 10 plagues, some of you may remember, was the death of the firstborn son. The angel of death was going to come over the area and kill and take the firstborn son of every single house. But for God's people, and there's some evidence that this would have been available to the Egyptians as well if they would have done it, but they didn't. For God's people, God said, here's what I want you to do. When the angel of death comes over the camp, I want you to take a lamb, to sacrifice a lamb. I want you to take the blood of that lamb and sprinkle it over the doorposts, sprinkle it over the doorposts of the area where you are, the door of where your house is. And when the angel of death passes over, he will see the blood on that door, and your firstborn son will not die. So all of the Israelites, everybody, and I'm a firstborn child. If I was a firstborn child, I would have said, Mom and Dad, hey, let's get on this. Let's do this. Let's make sure that we're covered by the blood. And all of the Israelites did. And wouldn't you know it, just like God said, the angel of death came, all of the firstborn of the Egyptians, and anybody that didn't have the blood on the door were killed, even the Pharaoh's firstborn son. But those that had the blood covered on their doors, the angel of death passed over that house, and the firstborn child lived. Well, you know what happened when the Israelites wanted to leave, and Pharaoh finally said, okay, I'm done with you guys. I'm going to let you all go. So all the Israelites, all 3 million of them, take off. And then Pharaoh changes his mind. He says, I'm going to go get you and bring you back into slavery. But that's when Charlton Heston, you know, the Red Sea parts, all of the Israelites go through on dry ground. Egyptians follow them. The sea crashes in on the Egyptians, kills them all. And so from that day forward, everybody in Israel was supposed to remember the deliverance of Jesus, the love of God, of how he rescued and ransomed his people. And so from that day forward, they celebrated the Passover feast, the angel of death passed over. So fast forward to the time of Jesus. He is getting ready to be crucified. And in his Last Supper, he is celebrating this very feast that we talked about all the way back in Exodus. And all of his disciples are around him, and they're celebrating the Passover feast. And he takes a very common item, bread, and he takes a very common item, wine. And instead of saying, this is the Passover feast, he says, I am going to be the Passover lamb for you. So instead, this bread is going to be my body, which will be broken for you. This cup will be my blood, which will be poured out for you. And if that sounds weird or you don't understand it, even his closest disciples didn't understand it. But Jesus says, this is what I'm going to do for you. And so we today as Christians, we take bread and we take the cup, the fruit of the vine, and we celebrate and we remember what Jesus has done for us. So that's the history of communion. That's what you're going to participate in. So when we pass this communion out, I want you to just reflect on three things. Can you reflect on three things with me? Number one, everybody fold your hands together like this. Fold your hands together like this. Well, I want you to reflect and think about gratitude, okay? When you participate in communion, may God help your heart and my heart to be grateful. When you take in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, when you take in this sacrifice, man, our hearts need to be grateful. Think of what Jesus has done for us. Every sin that we have committed, are committing, or will commit is covered by the power and the love of Jesus Christ. Man, we've got to reflect on gratitude and be grateful and be thankful for the sacrifice that Jesus has given for us. So I want you to participate in that and reflect on gratitude. Also, just be thankful for your blessings. I've talked to a few friends today who have new jobs, praise the Lord, because of His goodness and His grace. All of us today have had a good meal, amen? Be thankful for that. Praise God for that. All of us today have clothes, thank goodness, in this cold weather. All of us today are breathing in the air of God. All of us have all these blessings. Be grateful for that. Thank God for that as you take communion. Be grateful. All right, everybody, we're going to be grateful, number one, hands together. The second is I want you to reflect on growth. So we're doing gratefulness, gratitude, and growth. I don't know about you, but when I think of the sacrifice of Jesus, and I think about a love that ascribes unsurpassable worth to every human being on this planet, I've got a long way to go to grow to be like that. Amen? Is anybody else with me on that? As I think about the love of Jesus Christ, I don't always love like He does. I don't always serve like He does. That's not in my heart all of the time. So this is not a thing, there's one G word that's not allowed, the guilt word. It's not about guilt, it's not about shame. The enemy will want to tell you, well, you're never going to be able to get it together. You're never going to be able to do what God wants you to do. You're never going to be able to love like Jesus wants you to love. That is a lie from the pit of hell, amen? So our orientation, the orientation of our life is to grow, is to experience growth as we take communion, taking one step closer to the love of God. So we've got gratitude, amen. We've got gratitude. We've got growth. We've got growth. And the last G word I want you to think about is grace. Gratitude, growth, and grace. If you've been in church for any amount of time, you've probably heard that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a great definition. Another word that you may have heard is unmerited favor. When we take communion, may we reflect upon the grace of God, the unmerited favor. Things that we did not deserve are given to us because of the love of Jesus Christ. So what's the first thing? Gratitude. Gratitude, as you think about gratitude, being grateful. What's the second thing? Growth. Growth. And the last thing? Grace. Okay. So friends are passing out these little sets. Okay. This has got a little wafer, unleavened bread wafer, and some grape juice, okay? These may be a little difficult to get open. If friends need help, make sure we help out each other. And then also, too, out of respect for our friends across the street, let's make sure we don't use or we don't leave this as trash. And I know y'all are very good at doing that. So I want you to take this. Some of you may think, well, I don't deserve to take this, or maybe in the past you've been refused communion. Let me tell you this word before we pray. Number one, you are loved. Number two, you have a seat at the table in the feast of Jesus Christ. You are welcome. If you want to take a step towards Jesus, I encourage you to take this communion. Take in the bread. Take in the fruit of the vine. Take one step closer to the gratitude and to the growth and to the grace that is yours because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray, and after we pray, Jamie's just going to play a little bit of music for us. You can share this with your neighbor. Just reflect on those things while we take communion today. So let's pray, church. Will you join me in prayer? Father, we bless you, we love you, and we worship you. We praise your high and holy name. God, we thank you for the love that you have for us. God, we testify to the fact that we are loved. We believe that, and every lie from the enemy that speaks against that, we resist it in the name of Jesus Christ and in the authority of Jesus Christ and in the power of Jesus Christ. So now, God, as we take in the bread that was broken for us, we remember the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior and Master Jesus Christ on the cross. God, we take in that bread. We take in the fruit of the vine, and we praise you, Jesus Christ, for the blood that covers every sin that we have committed, that we are committing, or that we will commit. God, we praise you for the blood of Jesus Christ. We sing that old beautiful hymn, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. So we take that in right now and we receive the love that you have for us. God, fill us so full of your love. Fill us so full of your grace. Help us grow. Help us to grow in gratitude and grace and in love. Fill us so full that your love overflows so that we can love ourselves, so that we can love ourselves as you have loved us. And may that love spill over so that we can love your dark world that needs your love, that needs your grace, that needs your joy, that needs your peace. God, we long to be with our brother Larry in heaven again. We long to be with that great cloud of witnesses that has gone on before us. And we know that one day your love will define every square inch of this cosmos. And we cannot wait for that day. So God, prepare our hearts now. Help us to take one step toward you in receiving the love that you have for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. May all of God's church say together, amen. Thank you, sisters and brothers. If you receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, say amen. If you believe in that sacrifice, say amen. You say you just won, but you are losing.